Chapter 21. I'm so going to need to be homeschooled. The music begins. Go, girls! Looking good! Yeah! The spotlight is beaming into my eyes, and I can't see farther than the end of the stage. I can do this. I can so do this. I remember the moves. I lift my arm the way I'm supposed to, the way all the girls are doing, and I'm fine. Yes, I'm fine. Sort of. They're about half a second ahead of me. Oh no, I'm off a beat. Why can't I catch up? It's like I'm the girl in the choir who's singing just a little louder and squeakier than everyone else. But as soon as I'm about to start panicking, our five-second segment is over and the rest of the cast comes in and it doesn't matter anymore. Phew. No one seems to have noticed my off-key rhythm. At least, I don't think so, since no one comments. So far, so good. The next dance I'm in is the freshman Vegas number, the one Melissa choreographed. After I change into my pink skirt suit, I move into my Siberia position and say a little prayer to Melissa, thanking her for sticking me in the back. Way, way in the back. Away from everyone else. I don't have any complicated moves, so all I have to do is pretend to deal cards, which I manage without looking like an idiot. So instead of worrying, I take a moment to peer into the audience. Even in the dim lighting, my reserved section isn't hard to find since it's way up front and, more significant, it's the only row with three empty chairs. The occupied seats are occupied by three of the most uncomfortable people I have ever seen. My mother is at one end, a ferociously livid expression on her face, her arms angrily crossed in front of her chest. On the other side is my dad, who can't stop fidgeting and looks as if he's counting the seconds to making a fast escape. Slumped between them, like droopy, weak old meat in a sandwich, is Miri. I try telepathically to tell my sister not to worry. I'll be fine. I'm Dorothy, and the magic is within me. Yeah, right. As if that's going to work. I change into my all-girls Miami outfit. Designer velour sweatshorts, flip-flops, and a tank top. I wasn't one of the girls asked to sport a bikini top, thank goodness. When Will introduces the freshman and sophomore all-girls dance, it's full steam ahead. I can do this. The 10 of us get into position. Go, Dorothy, go. The music starts. 5, 6, 7, 8. Left arm up, right arm up, twirl groove bend, kickball. Kickball. Kickball what? Oh, kickball change. I forgot to change. Oh no, oh no, oh no. I'm on the wrong leg. Everyone's kicking her right leg and I'm kicking my left. What do I do? I'm severely out of sync. Time for the Harlem Shake. I know the Harlem Shake. So why can't my shoulders listen to my brain? Stop wobbling, shoulders. Time for a butt groove. My butt is not grooving. I'm pretty sure I look as if I'm being electrocuted. Beaming colored lights are swirling around me. And now I don't even remember what I'm supposed to be doing. I'm spinning and kicking the wrong way, and people in the audience are starting to snicker. Yes, snicker. How rude. At me. Because of how bad I suck. Jewel's eyes widen when she realizes I'm on the wrong side of the stage and not strutting down the catwalk with her like I'm supposed to. She points her chin toward the tee, trying to clue me in. Oh no, I don't want to go down the catwalk. While I'm doing the body wave, everyone's gaze will be on little old me. No pressure here. Arg, there is no way I should be doing the body wave in this condition. But I follow Jewel down the plank anyway. Do I have a choice? And then, there we are, each of us standing on the edge of the catwalk doing the body wave. Except, I can't do it. My body is just not waving. It's spasming. Someone in the front row is wincing at the sight of me. With my luck, it's probably Raph's mother. I won't be invited for dinner anytime soon. What's wrong with you? London says through her teeth, When finally the torture is over and we're backstage, "I told you I wasn't feeling well," I snarl back. "Take a Pepto and get over it. Now go change for the formal." I avoid the other girls' gazes as I put on my gorgeous Izzy dress. It can't get much worse. Anyway, the formal is slow, and slow dancing is all about the sway. Anyone can sway, right? Uh-oh. I realize there is another problem as soon as I step into the hallway. These wooden heels are high. Now that my rhythm isn't quite perfect, I shudder when I think about what these stilettos will do to my balance. I'm just about to fall flat on my face when I feel a strong arm around my waist. Raph.
"You look amazing," he says, beaming.
Obviously, he wasn't watching the all-girls dance. He was probably backstage changing and has yet to hear about my disastrous performance.
Oh no, I forgot about the pimple. He's looking right at the pimple.
I am a hideous, catastrophic freak.
"Ready to knock their socks off?" he says.
I'm more concerned about knocking him off the catwalk.
"Yep,"
I say, shielding my nose with my hand. I wobble backstage. I can do this. It's slow. Slow and romantic. I can do this. As long as I don't trip over my own feet, I can do this. When the Moulin Rouge song starts, the 20 of us are in proper position. Then, the 10 boys strut down the catwalk, and we follow. I wobble, but make it to my spot in front of Raph.
Woohoo! I made it! He twirls me, and then we do our sexy moves. Well, he does the sexy moves, and I try to look sexy, but I guarantee I am coming across as wooden and therefore unsexy. This is confirmed when Raph whispers, "Relax," during our dip. His lips are only an inch from my face, and then he asks,
"Are you okay?"
This is not the romantic moment I've been waiting for my entire life. I nod and try very hard to remain focused. Once that part of the dance is done, I breathe a huge sigh of relief. Yes, now all I have to do is make it off the catwalk and back to the stage. Couple by couple, we walk to the stage in two lines. We are the last ones in line, Jewel and Sean right in front of us. And that's when it happens. I step on the back of Jewel's dress. I told her the dress was too long. She goes down fast, and then, like dominoes, so do Melissa, Dory, Steffi, and the entire line of girls in front. One of the sophomores lands in the Eiffel Tower and beheads it. The set designers scream off stage. The entire audience gasps. Dazed, Steffi looks around, rubbing her elbow. Dory's bun is undone and a mess. Melissa rubs the back of her head. Oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. I send Miri a desperate look, silently begging her to make the stage swallow me up. But her head is in her hands. Oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. The music continues playing, but no one moves. They're all glaring at me. Eventually, the music stops and we shuffle silently off stage. Raph won't even look at me. He'll obviously never talk to me again. I destroyed the entire show. As soon as we're off stage, Melissa, Jewel, Dory, and Steffi circle me like sharks. I can hear Will making MC cracks about bringing France to its knees.
"What the hell were you doing out there?" Melissa yells. "You ruined everything."
There's a golf ball on my throat. "I'm sorry." Jewel just shakes her head. "I'll skip the closing," I say, "so I won't do any more damage."
"No way," Dory says, waving both her hands. "We need you in the closing. The freshman segment is only 20 seconds, and it'll look stupid without all of us. But wear your sneakers instead of the stilettos so you don't ruin that number, too."
"Idiot," Melissa snorts. "Loser."
Unfortunately, along with my talent, my designer sneakers have disappeared. So, against my better judgment, I change into my all-black outfit and beaten-up black boots.
I'm sitting on the toilet seat, silently bawling my eyes out in the same bathroom stall Miri and I visited earlier. I am never coming out. Ever. Well, at least not until everyone has left the building. Melissa was right when she called me an idiot. How much worse can it get? I thought. How could anything beat decapitating the tower and everyone laughing at me? It got worse. After I changed into my black pants and tank top, I got into position. But when the entire cast was supposed to be in sync, I sashayed the wrong way. I swerved at the wrong time, I turned at the wrong time, I was a total mess. But wait, that part wasn't the horrible part. Since the bows were right after the closing number, I had to wait on stage while all the freshmen and sophomores gave me poisonous looks, as Will called each person's name in alphabetical order. He called out the entire cast, and, of course, the audience cheered and screamed and rushed the stage to give their loved ones bouquets. And then he announced, "Rachel Weinstein." No one cheered. Or maybe someone did, but I couldn't hear because of all the laughter. I walked to the front of the catwalk like I was supposed to, only to find that no one, Nadi, was waiting to hand me flowers. Not even my parents. Although I could hardly blame them. They likely had other issues on their minds. And then, before I could run off the stage in humiliation, Will called, "London Zeal," the final name in the show, and she strutted down the catwalk, waving at the audience like a queen and grabbing her bouquets. That's when I tripped on my own 2 feet, fell into London, and knocked myself, her, and all her flowers off the stage, and heard the sickening crack. "My leg! You walking disaster!" That was her screaming, not me. She shrieked again and then hit me on the head with a rose. I apologized profusely before bailing out of there like a convict on the lam. I've been in this bathroom stall for 40 minutes and through the door have had to endure the worst kind of berating since no one knew I was here and they ripped into me freely. Not that I expected any mercy after what I did. Melissa called me a loser. Dory said she would never talk to me again. And when I heard Steffi say that London was carted off in an ambulance, I fully lost it. I had to flush repeatedly so no one would hear me crying. No one's come into the bathroom in the past 10 minutes, but I'm still not ready to come out. I'm going to have to transfer to another high school immediately. Unless the news of this disaster has spread to every school in the tri-state area, in which case I might have to be homeschooled. Or convince my mother to move with me to Iowa. Although, now she probably hates me too, so she'll most likely ship me off to a boarding school. Needless to say, I am not looking forward to going home. If only there were somewhere else I could go. I can't even escape to my dad since I've just ruined his life. STB's life, too. Prissy will have to be in therapy for the rest of hers. Tammy hates me. There is no way Raph will ever talk to me again. Never mind take me to Spring Fling. I will never again be A-list. I've been permanently demoted to the L-list, as in loser. Someone enters the bathroom and takes the stall next to mine. I try to stop crying. I recognize the pointy-toe shoes under the stall. Jewel's shoes. "Jewel?" I murmur. "Jewel was my best friend for so long. She'll know what I should do. She won't dump me now in my time of need." "Rachel?" She flushes and opens her door. "Is anyone else out there?" I whisper. "Just me." I venture out and, again, burst into tears. I'm like a broken water fountain. She's fingering her still straight hair, which is starting to frizz at the tips. "Don't cry. Everything will be okay." I want her to pat me on the back or something, but she keeps fidgeting with her hair. Then I get an idea. I don't have to go home. When I used to get into fights with my mom, I would just go sleep at Jewel's. "Do you think I could sleep over tonight? This has been, like, the worst day ever." She takes a step back. "Tonight? Actually, I'm going to Mercedes tonight for a cast party. Maybe another time.
I look her in the eye.
But I need you now.
She backs out of the bathroom.
I can't,
she says a little sadly. The door swings closed behind her. And just like that, she dumps me. Again. I don't know what to do with myself, so I walk to the mirror and stare at my reflection. A cast party. Nice. I've stopped crying, but my makeup is a mess. My pimple is screaming, and my hair is all over the place. The ocean has been through a nasty storm. I've gone from superstar to social leper in less than 4 hours. I've lost my best friend, again, as well as my almost boyfriend. I take a deep breath and leave my refuge. My mother and sister are waiting for me, leaning against the wall in the hallway. I try to read the expression on my mom's face. It ain't looking happy. Super. Just what I need to get yelled at. She puts her arm around my shoulder and hugs me. I start crying all over again. When we get home, all I want to do is crawl under my covers and never come out. But my mom says, somewhat ominously, "Come to the kitchen. I want to talk to both of you." Mary and I sit and stay silent while my mom makes and then pours herself a cup of tea. She sits at the table and shakes her head. "What you two did was cruel. Cruel to your father, cruel to Jennifer." "But she isn't good enough for him," I interrupt. She silences me with her hand. "I know you two don't like her, but who your father marries is not for you to decide. But not only were you cruel to them, you were cruel to me. Do you have any idea of the hurt you caused?"
"We were trying to help you,"
Miri says, sniffling.
"Help me? You thought making me think that your father was in love with me again would help me?"
She shakes her head and takes a sip of tea from her I Love New York mug.
"It took me 2 years to get over him. When he left, I was a mess. I cried myself to sleep every single night."
"I didn't know that,"
Miri says softly, her eyes filling with tears. Mine do the same.
"I was trying to be strong for you girls. I was so crazy about him. And then suddenly, he announced that he didn't feel the same. I didn't even try to get him to change his mind. I figured, what was the point? You can't make someone feel something he doesn't want to feel. So I did my best to make a life for myself, to care about my career, and to raise you two without him. And soon, I found that I was able to fall asleep at night without crying. Slowly, I got over him. Gave away the hope I'd been clinging to."
"Gave away the sweatshirt," I realize. She smiles sadly.
"I began to see what the marriage had really been like. The way he used to work late every night and not be there for me or for you. The way he always put himself first. My unhappiness led to anger, but in time that faded too. I realized that he wasn't solely to blame. When we were married, I never told him how I felt. I used to be so quiet and meek. Maybe if I'd been stronger, if I'd spoken up."
She shakes her head.
"Would've, could've, should've,"
she intones as if casting a spell.
"I've moved on, and so has he. I've grown stronger, become more confident. And he's changed too. He's not so self-absorbed."
Miri rolls her eyes, and my mom laughs.
"Okay, so maybe he has farther to go than I do. But you have to admit he's trying."
Her face turns solemn.
"Part of me will always love him, but not in that way. That's gone.
She points an accusatory finger at us.
But you two, just as I was starting to feel happy again, really happy, he reappears in my life, claiming to love me again. And then I find out that it's all fake. All the pain came back, and it hurt.
We thought you wanted him to love you, I say through a constricted throat.
If I valued a relationship based on love that was fake, love that was an illusion, don't you think I would have cast a love spell myself?
Oh, Miri and I both slump in our chairs.
I'm a witch, remember? She continues. When your father left me, I could have cast a spell to make him stay, but I didn't, because that's not the kind of love I want.
And then she stands up and puts her mug in the sink. My cheeks burn with shame. After the way I made a fool of myself on stage, you'd think I'd be used to the feeling by now, but I'm not. Self-absorbed. That's me, all right. Miri got Mom's witchcraft, and I got Dad's self-absorption. If there's an S list, sign me up. Stupid list. Shame list. I've used everyone. Mom, Dad, Miri, and even STB to get what I thought I wanted. Only what I thought I wanted is worthless. Fake friends, fake love, because love that's not voluntary isn't love at all. For the first time ever, even though her nails are gross and her roots are a mess, and even though she doesn't date, I wish I could be more like my mother. Wise, powerful. I'm sorry, Mom. I'm sorry, Miri. My eyes fill with tears. Again. How am I going to fix this? Miri shrugs. Dad went home to apologize to STB, but I doubt she'll take him back. I don't know how to fix it either. I put my head in my hands, and my mother runs her fingers through my disheveled hair.
I don't know if this is something you can fix, she says.
And I know she's not talking about my hair.